The presidential race was called for former Vice President Joe Biden over the weekend. Biden's campaign secured victories in Nevada and Pennsylvania, which put them over the 270 electoral vote threshold needed to win. President Trump's campaign has not conceded and has moved to challenge some state results in court. While Biden secured the presidency, it won't be smooth sailing once he's sworn in January. His incoming administration faces the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, which has killed more than 238,000 Americans and has left the economy in rough shape. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What was your reaction to the news on Saturday? What outcome were you hoping for? What would you like to see out of a Biden-Harris administration? Do you have hopes that Republicans and Democrats in the nation's capital could work together? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Paul Nolette is associate professor and chair in the Department of Political Science at Marquette University. Paul, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, good afternoon.
Well,
Glad it took
some days to get there, Paul. What was your reaction to President-elect Biden hitting that threshold over the weekend?
Well, I think the overall result didn't come as a huge surprise, since Joe Biden had been leading in so many of the polls leading up to Election Day. The margin being a bit closer than what we expected, especially here in Wisconsin, was in fact a surprise. It looks like, just like what happened in 2016, Trump had some support out there that wasn't being picked up in the polls. The difference, of course, this time is that Biden was able to get some narrow victories in some of the key states that Hillary Clinton had lost 4 years ago.
I want to give a listen to the president-elect speaking at a drive-in rally this weekend. He took the time to address Trump supporters and his own supporters, as he had throughout the campaign. Here's some of what he had to say.
For all those of you who voted for President Trump, I understand the disappointment tonight. I've lost a couple times myself, but now let's give each other a chance. It's time to put away the harsh rhetoric, lower the temperature, see each other again, listen to each other again. And to make progress, we have to stop treating our opponents as our enemies. They are not our enemies. They are Americans. They are Americans. The Bible tells us, to everything there is a season, a time to build, a time to reap and a time to sow, and a time to heal. This is the time to heal in America.
Do you see that, Paul, as being very likely turning down the temperature after this election, which is still, I should say, being contested by President Trump and some of his supporters?
Yeah, it's going to be really difficult in this highly polarized era for that temperature to come down significantly. I think Joe Biden's remarks on Saturday night reflect what a lot of presidents, when they come into office, say, that they are going to reach across the aisle, that they're going to be a president for all Americans, not just the supporters of their party. But the reality is that we live in highly polarized times. Republicans and Democrats really, you know, at each other's throats, by and large, both in the public and amongst politicians. So it's going to take a lot of skill, I think, in order to try to get to compromise, especially since it looks like Republicans very well might hold on to the Senate and so have a strong voice at the table in Washington. It's going to, like I said, take a lot of skill to get to compromise and to try to heal the country and heal some of the divisions that have now been here for so many years amongst Americans.
I want to also give a listen to Vice President-elect, currently Senator Kamala Harris, would be the first woman in the White House as a president or vice president, first woman of color to be elected to the position. Here she is thanking her mother, Shamala, and women throughout history who made it possible.
She believed so deeply in an America where a moment like this is possible. And so I am thinking about her and about the generations of women, black women, Asian, white, Latina, Native American women, who throughout our nation's history have paved the way for this moment tonight. women who fought and sacrificed so much for equality and liberty and justice for all, including the black women who are often too often overlooked, but so often prove they are the backbone of our democracy.
Paul, can you talk some about the meaning of Kamala Harris and her election as vice president-elect?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really a historic moment, certainly. And I think it's a reflection of how much has changed even in recent years. So when you think about the two other vice presidential candidates who were women, I mean, going back to 1984, Geraldine Ferraro, and then Sarah Palin in 2008, you know, they were picked by the presidential candidate really in a long shot campaign, hoping to shake up the race. But Joe Biden picked Kamala Harris as the favorite, frankly, going into the election. And I think he expects her to really be a governing partner moving forward over the next 4+ years, perhaps. So I think it's a very important moment, certainly the moment itself of election, but then having a woman as part of the administration that high up as vice president is really a truly historic moment in American politics.
Talking to Paul Nolet, political scientist at Marquette University, looking at this weekend's election news and what comes next. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, reactions, and questions. Let's bring on a caller. Marcus is with us in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Hey, Rob. So anyways, I feel that that even though this process has taken a little bit longer with the counting or whatever, personally, for myself, it's restored my faith in our democracy and that our democracy is not irretrievably broken, which I think is fantastic. I'm also the father of 4 multiracial children, 3 daughters, and I'm just super thrilled to be able to point to Kamala Harris and say, you know, like, look, like the glass ceiling of the old white man's democracy is coming down, and you know, you can be whatever you want to be in this country, and really, you know, they can see that.
Marcus, thanks a lot for calling in. To his first point, Paul, Marcus felt like the longer process actually made him feel better about the results and the accuracy of the results.
Yeah, and I think Marcus is making a good point there, because think about everything that's happened in 2020, right? Especially the pandemic and how that affected elections around the country. And you know, there was real concern about Election Day violence and other issues that could occur. But really, Election Day and the lead up to it went smoothly, by and large. There really weren't that many problems. I think election workers did a completely standout job in this really difficult environment to have this democracy run smoothly. And I think those days after the election, you know, we were all very impatient, I think, trying to get the results. I know I was clicking on the browser repeatedly to get the updated numbers and such. But at the end of the day, it worked. And I think it was democracy in display and having this record turnout, you know, the largest presidential turnout by percentage since the year 1900, I mean, well over 100 years, I think is a real testament to the continuing vitality and strength of American democracy.
Now, there are still many people, the president himself, some of his supporters, Republican senators, not acknowledging the victory. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he wants to see legal process played out, won't use the phrase president-elect yet. There are some Republican electeds and former electeds who have written or spoken out saying, yeah, this is a done deal. What do you think of the ongoing challenges here?
Yeah, I think, well, in terms of the Republicans themselves, they're really in a spot now where some elected officials are positioning themselves for the future, perhaps to take Trump's mantle from him and, you know, run for office, even president, with that idea of Trumpism behind them. And I think for many of them, they are allying again with Trump going forward, saying this isn't done. There's legal process. We need to let that process continue. And I think some other Republican elected officials including some that are retiring or some that already had a contentious relationship with President Trump, like Mitt Romney, for instance, have been more willing to step forward and say, look, we have to recognize that Joe Biden is going to be the next president of the United States. So I think it's an interesting dynamic going on there between these different wings of the Republican Party. And I think the ones that are the most hesitant to recognize Joe Biden as president-elect are likely on that side that are most likely to see themselves as having a strong political future as Trump's, carrying on Trump's ideology, I think, moving forward. So all of that's to say that I think even though President Trump lost this election, I think many of kind of his vision of what the Republican Party should be is going to be taken up by many Republicans moving forward.
We continue our conversation about the 2020 presidential election outcome. With that election called for now, President-elect Joe Biden. Paul Nolet is with us, associate professor and chair in the Department of Political Science at Marquette University. You can join in with your thoughts, your reactions, your questions at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see in the transition period here? What are you hoping for? What are you worried about from a Biden presidency? Call 800-642-1234. Let's go to another caller now. Donna is with us in Brookfield. Donna, hi.
Hi. Well, first of all, I want to say, like, on Saturday when the announcement came through that Biden won, I actually think that I felt the collective sigh of relief from this country. So it's a relief, and I'm so glad about that. But the other thing I want to say is that it's not just up to our politicians to heal this country. It's up to every single one of us. And if I can just kind of propose a little bumper sticker here, I think on the back of every car, we should put heal the divide, see the other side. We got to start doing that.
Donna, thanks a lot for the call. Donna saying, Paul, don't leave it up to the politicians to heal things. They're probably not going to be able to do it on their own.
Yeah, and that's the challenge, certainly, because not only do we see partisan divides in Congress amongst Democrats and Republicans being really further apart on ideology, perhaps, even going back to the time of the Civil War, but within the public itself, the public is highly divided. And it's, urban, rural, education divides, men and women, the huge gender gap in this election. There's a lot of demographic divides that are going to take some real effort to try to address. And that's all in the context of some really pressing political and policy issues moving forward. Certainly that pandemic at the top of our minds, the economy and jobs, climate change. I mean, the list goes on and on. And all of these issues are issues that divide people pretty heavily. So I think the sentiment is certainly a very good one. I think we all can try to do our part to try to understand the other side and to reach out. It is going to be a big challenge, and it is going to take both politicians and the public alike.
Before I go back to our callers, I want to get back to Republicans raising concerns about the election, and I want to bring it home here to Wisconsin. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican, is calling for an investigation into how the election was run. And then today we have a press release from a Republican on the Assembly, Joe Sanfilippo, raising concerns about the election. Our state capitol reporter says a lot of them are pretty not quite on target, but I want to quote here. If an investigation shows these actions affected the outcome of the election, we need to either declare this past election null and void and hold a new election, or require our electoral college delegates to correct the injustice with their votes. Ending that quote from a Republican in the Assembly. Paul, there's been some talk from Republicans that Republican legislatures and states should do something like this, fears from Democrats that they would. What do you think now that there's a statement from a sitting lawmaker opening the door to a legislature overturning the result of the election in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, it's concerning, certainly, that you'd have sitting members of the Assembly making those claims and saying that, because that really would be a real escalation, I think, in terms of a legislature taking the decision of the next president out of the hands of the people and kind of keeping it for themselves. At the end of the day, though, I mean, I think that there's going to be some rumblings, and there already are here in Wisconsin and some other states. I know those in Pennsylvania were talking about that, a few anyway. But I think at the end of the day, some of this remaining legal process and lawsuits will continue. I think by and large, they're not going to go anywhere. They're not going to really change the results outside perhaps a few hundred votes here and there. And I think at a certain point, in the not so distant future, you'll see more and more Republicans acknowledge, even if it is somewhat grudgingly, acknowledge that Joe Biden is president-elect and will be the next president. So I think some of this right now is largely rhetorical. I don't think it's really going to ultimately go anywhere in the Wisconsin Assembly or in any other of the state legislatures in this very close states in this election.
Talking to political scientist Paul Nolet from Marquette University, looking at the election results and what comes next. Let's go back to your calls now. Susie is with us in Plover. Susie, hi.
Good afternoon. Thank you for being with us, Professor. Actually, dovetailing on your last remark, I think there are some constitutional
Susie.
In general, can't hear me?
Yep, you dropped out, but now you're going. Go for it.
Oh, okay. That it means that there are states in the union whose election process were decided by judges and so forth, and did not follow constitutional directive with regard to the developing of election process. I've heard a couple of pretty venerable constitutional lawyers discuss this. Particularly, I think Pennsylvania is an example, because in the end, the Supreme Court case stepped in and said, yes, we can accept late ballots. But in fact, our Constitution itself forbids that, does not respect the developing of the election process in that manner. Now,
Susie, thanks a lot for the call. We don't have a ton of time left, but there is a lot of latitude for how states handle this, and it very often ends up for the courts to decide, Paul.
That's right. I mean, states and state legislatures do have a lot of constitutional authority over the mode of the election. And so that's been part of the Constitution since its framing. What is a much less clear statement is whether legislatures could actually overturn the results of an election once it already happened. So in other words, they have a lot of leeway in setting up how the election occurs what it's going to look like, for instance, early voting and absentee voting and how the electors are selected and that sort of thing. It's a lot more difficult to imagine a situation in which legislatures change the results after the election has already occurred. But again, you know, if these things end up in the courts will handle them. And as we've seen with a number of the lawsuits filed by the Trump administration so far, they're being dismissed fairly quickly. So I do think that there's going to be a number of additional lawsuits. I think there are lawsuits that are continuing as we speak, but it won't be too much longer before most of these are dealt with by the courts. And I think at that point, Republicans will, by and large, accept the results of this election and perhaps try to put some pressure on President Trump to acknowledge it as well, to concede and pledge that he'll have a peaceful transition of power.
Assuming that it all comes out that way, Paul, let's take a couple moments to look at the future now. President-elect Biden appointing a coronavirus task force. It seems like that's his priority, to hit the ground running on that. What could we see changing, assuming a President Biden with probably a Republican-led Senate? Still slight asterisk on that.
Yeah, and so there are still these two Georgia runoffs that potentially can determine the control of the Senate. But yeah, assuming that Republicans maintain the Senate, it's going to be difficult for Biden to get a lot of his priorities through. I think one of his big coronavirus priorities is getting some sort of, whether you call it a stimulus package or what have you, something through Congress that will assist regular Americans, small businesses, and also states and local governments, which I think has been one of the most controversial parts of a potential plan, multi-billion-dollar plan coming from Congress. So that really, those details are going to have to be worked out, and it's going to take some willingness to compromise, I think, amongst both Democrats and Republicans to get that going. So I think that's going to be a real focus. The money piece of it is going to be a real focus in the coming weeks and months.
Paul, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us again.
All right. Thank you.
Paul Nolet is associate professor and chair in the Department of Political Science at Marquette University. He joined us today to talk about the results of the 2020 presidential election, called this weekend for now President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris.